someone who is listening to this podcast is going to win this game this year.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello. You know what? After last week's Patreon pods and what have you, and the complaints about the intros, I thought I'm going to give them a rubbish one today, James. But patrons, hope you're having a fantastic week. We are now, give or take, 10 days away from the season going live. It's what we would call squeaky bum time, James. Things are getting serious, hotting up, and we are here with the Sky Fantasy Football Podcast.
We are, because people, when's the Sky Pod? When's the Sky Pod? Well, definitely no one listened to the pod with Dave Perrins last week, which I highly recommend, episode 3 from Champions Week last Wednesday. This is your Wednesday Sky Podcast. Yes, it's on Patreon. And to kind of spoil this a little bit, we are not going to be, I'm sure we will mention the odd player, but we're not going to delve into players this week or teams particularly. We're going to do that all next Wednesday, season 4, episode 1 of Sky FF. And then next Friday, on the differential show, we'll kind of confirm planned drafts and the thinking behind them a little bit. That's where we're at.
Yep.
What I want to do on this one is a couple of things. So first, and sorry for those who've played for years, we're going to do a kind of a brief little intro, because people keep every, like once a week, I see someone send the podcast we did 2 years ago with an intro to the game. So I feel like a refresh will be useful for some of the patrons, because there are some things that are obviously different. And
I might listen to it myself.
Probably a good idea, yeah.
Oh, mate.
And then what I want to do, I'm not going to do it in as much detail as I'd originally planned to when I put the schedule together back in June to do this podcast, is look at the why we make transfers.
And some of the things
that we should think about when we're making a transfer. And some of it might seem simplistic, but you probably never consciously thought about it before. So in terms of intro to game, all we're going to go through this bit is what's different from FPL to Sky. Some of the scoring is different. A goal scored by Alisson will get you 7 points rather than 6 points. Defenders get 6 points for a goal. Seven. Midfielders get you 6. Striker, 4. So each goal is worth an extra point to what it is versus FPL.
Not for strikers.
Clean sheet.
The striker's 4 or 5?
Striker's 5.
You said 4 there just now. So
did I? Yeah,
5.
This is what happens to me. Thank you for correcting me, mate.
Yeah.
7 for defenders, 6 for midfielders, 5 for strikers. Forwards.
Yeah.
Correct. A clean sheet is worth 5 rather than 4. When your player is substituted, you do not bank that clean sheet. So you know the old, oh, he got subbed in 61 minutes. I banked the clean sheet.
The whole team still needs to keep the clean sheet.
Correct. Clean sheets are worth 5 points rather than 4. A penalty save is worth 5 points. And it pisses me off, because the striker can just hit the ball wide and the goalkeeper will still get 5 points. He doesn't even need to save it. And yes, I checked the rules again to see if they changed it. Own goal -2, yellow card -1, red card -3 is fairly standard. You get a -1 for every 2 goals conceded. This year in Sky Fantasy, are you aware of any of these changes, by the way? I don't know if
the tier points changes.
There's not really tier points changes. There is one specific thing that's gone.
Oh, no man of the match.
That's man gone. Of the match is binned,
yep.
Which is great, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm aware of that, yep.
It's brilliant. So, bonus points.
Yes.
Get tier 1 and tier 2. So goalkeeper makes 3 saves, 2 points. Your player wins 4 tackles, and that has to be wins a tackle to make it safe, i.e. out of play or goes to a teammate rather than the opposition maintain possession, 2 points. 60 completed passes, 2 points. 2 shots on target, 2 points. Tier 2, you get an extra point. So goalkeeper makes 5 saves. It's going to be 3 points.
So that's 3 5 to tackles, 5. One. 3 for tier 1, 5 for tackles.
Yep. He's up 1, so it's 5 tackles.
From 4.
Passes is up another 10, so 70 completed passes. And 3 shots on target rather than 2 would be worth 3 points. Those shots do not have to go in. They have to be a shot on target. A small bugbear of mine is that shots that tend to be cleared off the line don't tend to register as shots on target, I don't think, for whatever reason. I don't understand. It needs to be a goalkeeper save, apparently. I don't know. That's how the bonus points works. It's actually quite straightforward. In many cases, it's easier to understand than the BPS system in FPL. If your player makes 75 completed passes, that shit is black and white. If you want to check how your player's doing during a game, we very much recommend ffstuff.co.uk. He's now Frank and Mike, by the way.
There's been an official reveal, I understand.
There has, yeah. Formations in Sky, there is a slight alternate to FPL, and that's in the sense, and the easiest way to remember this is, if you play five at the back, it has to be 5-3-2.
You can't do 5-2-3, basically.
And you can't do 5-4-1. Mm-hmm. If you play five at the back, it has to be 5-3-2, and people always get that mixed up. That's it. Captains. You obviously have a captain for every single game day. So, for example, game day one, there is one game, Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. You definitely want to start your Sky Fantasy season with a player from Arsenal or Crystal Palace. You would then be able to select another captain on a Saturday, another captain on a Sunday. The game week in Sky runs from Friday to Thursday. And the only reason that is relevant in any way is because you are only allowed to make a maximum of five transfers between any given Friday and Thursday. I've never done it, but we've spoken about doing it a couple of times where you'd make a transfer early on a Thursday to make sure it's not on the same week if you're planning to do six transfers in a week, for example. And with the additional transfers this year, that may become a common thing. There are now 50 transfers for Sky Fantasy managers rather than 40.
I did that early move last year at the end of the season when obviously I had a condensed period in May manager of the month to try and use all my transfers to get to when we had the midweek and stuff, I wanted to make more than five, so I did go early on the Thursday. But other than that, in the normal course of the season, it very, very, very rarely happens.
Yep. This year, we have one overhaul period. That is it. It's essentially, for the FPL managers who want to play the first time, it is an enforced wild card. There are no other wild cards during the season. Now, normally in Sky, we would have this after sort of three or four game weeks, and then we have it again towards the end of January or early February, something like that. This year, it only happens once. That's why we've got the extra 10 transfers. I should say, if it goes back to two overhauls next season, I wouldn't expect the transfers to come back down to 40 again. I think this will stay, I should imagine.
Okay.
Keeps the engagement a bit longer again, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the more transfers you've got.
A little bit.
It does mean that 10 extra transfers does mean we can play around a little bit more, because just thinking about it logically, essentially during a game, a given season, you've got 38 matches, let's say, for each team. You've got two enforced wild cards in now. That would bring you down to 36. This year, it's only 37. In theory, you've got just more than one transfer a week. And that's not to say you should use one a week. Now you've got more.
The other thing I think that makes it a little bit more interesting is last year, because we had to obviously contend with postponements and that we had way more match days, which meant you had to, game days, I should say, match weeks, game days, and you had to use transfers to cover off captaincy on more days. Whereas now you're likely to have more game days captaincy already covered. So your transfers are being used for aggressive reasons, which is the main second half of this podcast. Why would you use a transfer? Well, you're going to be able to use them for better reasons this year, right?
Yeah. My early instinct is, in terms of the physical use of transfers, is that primarily we just want to jump between the premiums as much as humanly possible. So I'll give you an example. If you want to look at sheet 2 of my Sky Planner, which you can find on the James Planner channel. Let's say you start the season with Harry Kane as an example. Let's say you want a captain on the Saturday against Southampton. It's clear in your mind he's the captain. He delivers for you, gets you good returns. You could, in theory, the next day, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but the next day you could jump to Erling Haaland, captain Erling Haaland against West Ham. And then the following Saturday, you captain Erling Haaland on the ball against Bournemouth. The next day, you go back to Harry Kane. You captain him against Chelsea. The following Saturday, you captain Harry Kane against Wolves. Then the next day, you sell him again back to Haaland. And you captain Erling Haaland at Sunday. And then the following Saturday, you captain Erling Haaland against, I think they've got Palace in that one. Mm. And then you can go back to Kane again for Nottingham Forest on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, there aren't actually that many chains like that. So the way I've explained that makes you think, well, I'm just going to dance between Kane and Haaland all season long. Well, no, because once you hit Wednesday the 31st, they're playing on the same night. So at some point, something's got to give. Mm. It doesn't keep working forever, for example.
And but like just other
these sort of moves are more interesting.
Like Sonny, for example, is a forward in Scott. Has he moved to? He hasn't moved to a midfielder, has he? Sonny.
Sonny's a midfielder.
This is the other change from last year, isn't it? Positionally,
they've all gone from forwards to midfielders, which has realigned the game essentially back with FPL. We still have one or two players that might be a little bit questionable, but generally speaking, the attacking wingers are now midfielders in the game, which I generally think is a positive in the sense that the midfield for the last couple of years has become a little bit of a graveyard. Bar you get Christian Norgaard becomes a tackle monster. Yes, Christian Norgaard, he's a tackle monster, or Rodri's a passing monster, or Jared Bowen becomes a kind of obvious go-to as a mid-range midfielder, for example. Someone normally develops and evolves, but actually, James Maddison at the end of last season would have been great. But actually, generally speaking, midfield's been a problem in recent years. My reaction when I saw the changes was 4-5-1. Bang. Just go Haaland up front and jiggle it with Kane if we need to, for example, and forget about it. I don't necessarily feel that way quite as strongly now as well, and I may be looking at a 4-4-2 for flexibility. One of the other great changes in Sky, which we do really like, is no subs, which you might, oh my God, no subs. So you do need to think about players that are regularly going to get starts more often. You know, punting on Leon Bailey, for example, in Sky would be quite risky early on if it becomes clear two games in that he hasn't started at all for Aston Villa. You're booking in a transfer, aren't you? In FPL, you can go, shit, he's not going to start. I'll put him on the bench instead. Those sort of moves are a lot more risky in this format. You can, of course, transfer one player in one position for a player in another, as long as you stay within the guidelines of the given formations. So if you start in a 4-4-2, you can, for example, start with Harry Kane on the Saturday in game week one, and you can sell him to Cancelo on the Sunday. That can happen. That would then make your formation 5-3-2 instead of 4-4-2. What you couldn't do if Jesus was your other forward would be move Jesus to Jack Grealish, because that would be an ineligible formation then at that point, right?
Yep.
That's kind of the rules of the game. If anyone doesn't understand anything, pop it in the Sky FF channel, and the guys in there, if you're new to the game, are so welcoming and helpful. Personally, I know this will upset the Wolves boys, but it's the best channel on Slack because everybody is ready to help everybody and very supportive of each other. Particularly if you're new, people will understand. Even the way you ask questions sometimes, someone will know without you even having to say it that you're a new player. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. People will help. Or you can DM me. Please fucking wait till correspondent week's finished, though. I'd appreciate it. Right. That's it, rules-wise. Yeah, as I said, we're not going to talk about players or kind of early transfers or assets or teams or whatever so much now, because we're going to repeat a lot of that next week anyway, so just want to skip over it. What I wanted to do on this pod was have a think about why we make transfers in the game. We got 50 transfers, so we've got a little bit more flexibility this year, which means that we don't have to be quite as defined in our minds, I think, in terms of rules. And although it feels to me right now that we should jump between these premiums, we know during the season we need to make transfers that are not premium transfers because we're going to make mistakes or other things happen. So I'll put it to Suj. Why would you make a transfer in Sky?
Yeah, just to add on what you just said there, though, before I answer that question as well, I think we can get away. It feels like with more transfers, you can take more risks and get away with making mistakes a little bit.
I'm not so sure, actually. I don't think it necessarily equates to that. I think it means you can take more gambles, as in potentially buying a player for one game and actually literally just going, so, right, he's the best captain on Sunday. His fixtures beforehand and afterwards are shit. Fuck it, I'm going to punt it. Whereas the 40 feels precious. You know, you could take that sort of attitude to dive in for one game straight away and move to the Monday night, for example.
The difficulty for me with Sky, because I'm not a good Sky player, is the long-term nature of the game, right? When you get like your whole, imagine if I gave you a whole year's salary up front in 1 month, like suddenly you're like, okay, well, I want to buy this. And if I buy it now, I'll use it for the whole month, but then I won't have any money next month. Like, it's that Robin Peters paper. You don't know when's a good time to use and when's not. And I didn't have the ability, even though you create a good planner, to think for the whole season. And you worry, like, what if a better opportunity is going to come up? What if there's going to be better double game weeks? What if I run out of captaincies? That the 50 transfers and the fewer game days removes that from my decision making. So I might treat this 50 transfers as 40 transfers that I'm going to plan, and 10 that when I feel like it, fuck it, I'll just go for it kind of thing, and have a split in my mind of like luxury fucking about transfers of 10 or so and 40 that I'm going to try and plan. When I had a fixed period of May, it massively helped me. So I can now chunk the season up, and actually I'll probably chunk it up into 4 or 5 chunks and set, plan for those and then reset and plan for those and reset. And one overhaul is going to come right in the middle of the season. So I actually have to chunk up the first half in half and the second half in half. It will work quite well. Yeah. So I'm interested to see. I think this season will be easier than ever for me to manage to play in Sky. Let's see what happens.
Good. But, let's see what happens. The game should be easier for everyone.
Yeah. I like the changes. So to your question, so do why I. would I use the, why would I use a transfer? Well, first and foremost...
Can I jump in before you do that? Because I think it's one really key point. And I kind of asked this out to the listeners, even though they can't answer and I can't hear them. There was something you said, which is kind of an error in terms of, and we'll touch on this, the mental side of it. And it revolved around the 10 luxury transfers.
Okay.
It's not 10 luxury transfers. It's 5.
Yeah, well... This is the first thing. This is something we'll come back to in terms of strategy, is when you're making a transfer, what's the next transfer? That's something I learned from you. So it's, if I'm making a transfer, what's the next transfer? So if I'm making a luxury transfer, then I'm using one of my, am I using one of my planned transfers to get back to
exactly,
or am I not?
That's presumably, and this is the point, and there's nothing wrong with a luxury transfer. I think we are more open to this sort of thing this year. I think, for example, rather than 3-for-1, which we know is obviously Hub's title podcast, I think you're going to hear a lot more 2-for-0 is going to kind of become an intern for Sky now this year. The idea of having 10 luxury transfers because they're not part of your plan is kind of incorrect. You're not wrong in your theory, Suj, but it's 5 because presumably you've got to get rid of that luxury transfer.
So yeah,
you've got 5 because you've got five luxury ins, but you need 5 fixes to get rid of the luxuries.
Yeah, I mean, let's rephrase that: planned and unplanned. I've got because luxury is like you're dipping in, dipping out. Whereas unplanned, on the spur of the moment, if I see someone's dropped in the team and I hadn't already made a plan to get to it, but I have a transfer to get out of it. Say I was holding Kane, and he didn't have a fixture, and Chelsea had 2 fixtures in between, but my plan was never to go to Chelsea, but then I was moving Kane on after another game in the future. I might do that as what I'd call a luxury. It wasn't in my strategy. I've got enough, and I've seen someone who's playing that I think is going to have a good game. Sod it, I'll just get it done, knowing where I'm going to a bit further down the road anyway. But the first and foremost answer to your question always is captaincy. Like, there's rarely an excuse. Maybe we've learned previously, but to skip a game and not have a captain. I mean, we've talked about like a Burnley versus Norwich on a Tuesday.
Well,
night.
I was very set in my mind that this year I had to get into the process of I'm going to skip a game. Mm. Had to get that into my mind. Last year, there was one captaincy game that I missed. And that was because Southampton versus Liverpool, I was out of transfers and the assets I had didn't play.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But generally speaking, covered every game. Now, with the 50 transfers, it feels like you probably shouldn't. Certainly early on, there's no excuses. You cannot skip Crystal Palace and Arsenal in game week one. There are too many potentially powerful players. Plus, in any case, Arsenal have good sets of fixtures. And if you take Arsenal for an example, and this is what the new players may need to think about in some of their thought process, is really we should never buy a player on the first day of a game week. Now, commonly, that will be a Saturday is the first day. And the reason for that is you're making a transfer and you're not gaining a fixture. If you can buy a player on a Sunday, for example, in a given weekend, you should have 12 players rather than 11. Mm-hmm. So we are looking for an additional fixture. If you take Arsenal with their great run of fixtures at the start, and I say to you, right, so they play first in match week one, Palace away, first in two, Leicester at home, first in three, Bournemouth away, first in four, Fulham at home. Actually, the first real entry point is Aston Villa on Wednesday the 31st. And you, what you'd actually argue is, after the Fulham game, the fourth game, arguably you should sell your Arsenal assets and then come back to them when they play on a Sunday in a future. So the entry point for Arsenal specifically is day one. In Crystal Palace's case, the fixtures are a bit shit. Reality.
Yeah.
But someone like Wilfried Zaha, if you decide that's your consistent punt, great. We know actually that Palace central defensive players, Gehi and Anderson, and possibly even Tyrick Mitchell this year, who's a bit of a tackle monster, could do quite well. Reality is their fixtures are a bit shit. The passing tiers might not be there. It's not to say for Tyrick Mitchell, the tackle tiers won't be there. But it's also unlikely the clean sheets will be there to go with it as well because their fixture run is tough. So Palace is skippable, really. I don't mind if people want to punt Zaha early on, for example. But generally, even though Adam Pritchard thinks they'll get beat on a Friday night, we should probably all start with an Arsenal player.
Correct.
That's the thinking process generally. So why make a transfer in Sky? Yeah, number one reason. Shit. I need a captain. Now, what I would like to clarify briefly, and we'll talk about it next week a little more, these single game days that we have, that we can see, like Palace and Arsenal on day one, are not a problem. None of them as yet are a problem. And it might even be, Suj, by the way, that by the time we record next Wednesday, we may have the October fixtures as well.
Wow, okay.
To plan even further. They are due out next week before the season starts. It could even be the back end of this week, possibly.
You reckon TV companies will get their house in order and be on time?
Well, to be fair to them, they have so far.
Okay.
So I guess in pre-season, that's easier than it is during the season. I'm a little surprised because of the clash with the Champions League fixtures. It means that the big four, sorry, Arsenal and United fans, let's say the Champions League four, are probably always going to have to be scheduled for a Saturday.
Yep.
Most likely. There are a couple where, for example, they put Chelsea West Ham is going to have to move to Sunday the 4th of September, for example. We'll talk about that further down the line. It's not so important. But the single game days we see, Liverpool Palace, not a problem, right? We're probably all starting with a Liverpool player, or worst case, we'll buy a Liverpool player on the Monday. The following Monday, it's Liverpool again at Man United. Not a problem. Thursday the 1st of September is Leicester against Manchester United. It's not a problem. We can buy one of those players on that night if we want. It's a good entry point for both teams. Leicester, for example, would have three fixtures against United, Brighton and Villa. And in that period, there's a few teams who only play once. So you can chain move it on after the Villa fixture on Saturday, September the 10th. Or, of course, you can buy a Manchester United player. And it's on the other side of, obviously, the Liverpool fixture. The other one, Forest v Leeds, or rather Leeds versus Forest, on Monday, September the 12th, which is, oh, shit, do I need to start with a Forest player? Of course you don't. Everyone's got seven games.
Yep.
Seven games before that comes around. Mm-hmm. And in the case of that particular Monday night, if you think, oh, do you know what, Leeds Forest to skip it, you ain't going to because Forest have got Fulham at home on the Friday. So in theory, if you buy a Forest player on that Monday, and captain him on the Monday and the Friday, we've got what we would call a 4-0 over many teams. And then you can sell it straight away to your choice of 16 other teams on Saturday the 17th. or Sunday the 18th. Don't get into the thinking, oh my God, Leeds are playing Forest. I've got to start one of these players. You've got 50 transfers. Come back to it once you've got the information. That's not to say you shouldn't. Like I'm probably starting with Brennan Johnson, for example. But you don't need to, is the point. The single game days here are not an issue. And also, just to add on captaincy very briefly, the only day where I'd say it's not one of the big six as best captaincy before that Leeds Forest fixture is arguably West Ham at Nottingham Forest on Sunday, August the 14th. And that day you've got Chelsea and Tottenham playing each other. Mm-hmm. So your cover is not going to be a problem. So to start the season should be quite easy for the new guys to get their head around it. Captaincy, yes, is one obvious reason why we would make a transfer. Why else, Suj, do you think you would make a transfer in Sky?
Well, you mentioned there already fixture game. So
yep.
I don't know if my answer's something you've just already explained, but fixture game.
No, that's okay. So, it's a reason. Yeah,
if
fixture
it's
game.
It's quite straightforward. Tottenham play on a Saturday. As you mentioned, Harry Kane plays on Saturday. Haaland plays on the Sunday and then the Saturday, but Kane doesn't play till the following Sunday. Haaland's got two games before Kane plays again. Simple. You get a game.
I would say fixture gain / fixture turn.
Yeah.
And what we mean by that is obviously a team set of fixtures obviously get a lot tougher or get a lot easier. But even in that case, you are still looking to time it at a time where you will find the gain in the transfer to give you something extra. Any other reasons?
I mean, barring the obvious, your player gets injured, is no longer available. Yeah, get
that's
rid
it.
Of
Say
him.
The obvious.
Yeah,
you've got an injured player.
Get rid of him.
We're all going to get a player that's injured. Injury and suspension.
Yeah.
It's obvious, right?
Players in
anything else?
Players in shit form.
Exactly. You want to get rid of a shit player. We're all going to have that at some point. I've got a player who I thought was decent. He's now shit. I want to get rid of him. So define it as I want a better choice of player, for example.
Yep.
Anything else?
I don't know if this is a reason to make a transfer, but I think there will be cheap enablers that will emerge. Like every season, it feels like there's cheap enablers that emerge. Like Christian Norgaard last year was fantastic. Dallas the year before. Every year, there's a player from a promoted club or an unknown who comes up and is really strong on tier points, the bonus points that we talked about, tackles and what have you. And the ideal with those kind of players, based on our pods, I feel like, is get them in and just leave them be. Like, these are players, less than 7 million, maybe you'd say, in the price bracket. So we don't, and I don't think anybody knows who they are right now. So I think a set and forget, cheapy will appear. Use a transfer, just get them in and leave them there.
Yep, absolutely fine. So you want an enabler. I would almost describe that as to make the next move. That's almost why you're getting the enabler, presumably, right? Is to part to free up funds. So it's actually part of future moves. Or it's obvious, like last year. I say obvious, I didn't get him. Christian Norgaard last year.
Yep.
Or Stuart Dallas the year before. So yeah, buying an enabler or buying a premium. So to extend on that, I would say another reason you may make a transfer, particularly in Sky, is to cover the template. So you don't have Mo Salah. You're a little bit worried of what will happen if Mo Salah go off. And we say you shouldn't be worried about EO. I'm sorry. I'm not really bothered if anyone disagrees. You have to think about it in this game. Doesn't mean you have to go with it, but you definitely have to think about it. And the opposite of that, of course, is because you want a differential. And obviously that becomes more important the longer the season goes on. But perfect case in point last year would be a number of us went and bought Jared Bowen in December. And it didn't actually hit off immediately.
No.
But actually we was in the right place ahead of time when he really did go off over Christmas and then into January and stuff. So going and buying a differential, obvious reason. Now, a lot of them overlap fixture gains ideally, but again, I feel like with 50 transfers this year, I'm not someone who, let's take an example. Let's say Arsenal have got Bournemouth in game week 3 and you think, do you know what, I haven't had Jesus, on reflection of it, shit, I really want him, and you think he's the best captaincy that day. Generally I would say don't do that, but because the Fulham game's afterwards in 4 as well, and you may even want to captain him in that, and I'm not saying you should, it's just an example, then I think with the 50 transfers this year, that leads more into bollocks, get him. Mm-hmm. If that's the best player for your team, go and get him, because other people will. Other people are not going to look at it so much this year and think, I've got to wait for the fixture game. Other people, if they're in that position, thinking, ah, do you know what? I wanted to go Watkins early on. I'm not bothered about Jesus. I've got Gabriel. Jesus gets four in the first two, and you see them fixture and think, shit, I've got to fix it. His ownership's going to be massive. Go and buy him. Like, I think that will be more of a thing this year of just fix your problem. Don't stress so much about the fixture game. Make your team as good as it can be quickly.
Can I ask?
That said, don't spunk all your transfers at the start. Like, really hold them back in many cases. Go on.
Well, that comes back to my question around timing, James. So historically, like, you look at your rank in FPL, right? And we say in Sky, like, wait till Christmas or kind of thing, when all the people that waste their transfers early have kind of died down. So it's largely irrelevant. But by Christmas, it settles down and, you know, the sensible people are rising to the top slowly. Do you think then this year you should not worry about your rank, but it's going to make more sense earlier, because even experienced managers that are holding transfers back will use more earlier, so it will kind of level itself out a little bit?
I'm strongly in the camp that I would like to have 35-ish or so transfers for after the World Cup. But that depends a lot on 15. Making selections correctly at the start and stuff, right? And how many injuries problems am I going to have? So there's not a definitive answer. The difference between this and last year as well is the example I've just given you is you've realised you've made a mistake. Whereas if you think, oh, the overhaul's coming after the Bournemouth fixture for Jesus in the example I've given, you're going to leave it, aren't you?
Yeah.
He would have to bang and go mental in that fixture to be worth it. But actually, you're making a decision potentially for 15 game weeks or something and making it now. So I think that will adjust some of the thinking early on, where ideally, what was it, after 3 game weeks last year? I mean, kind of the ideal scenario was get through the 3 weeks and don't make a transfer, really.
Mm.
Then you've got all the information of all 20 teams, majority of players in the league. You've got information to then make the correct decisions. This year, you haven't got the enforced overhaul to get you out the shit, right? So if you're in the shit, get out of it.
Yeah.
Would kind of be the advice. That doesn't mean, the example I've given is quite extreme where you shouldn't necessarily do that. But I would say this year, consider it. I bet I'm someone who doesn't. I bet if that was me, I'd let it go. I'd be like, oh, do you know what? I'll go back and get Jesus on September the 11th when he plays Everton on the Sunday. That's probably what I'd think.
Okay.
And guess how many returns he might get in 1, 2, 3, 4 fixtures in between. So just consider it.
Yep.
One of the other things I wanted to cover before we finish is reflection when you're making a transfer. We will all have that moment this year where you have the perfect plan in place. You go, I'm going to buy player X on Sunday, and you get to see the team and he's not in it. And you've got no captaincy coverage that day. Panic.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my last answer to the question. When do you use a transfer? When you've planned for a captain and he don't bloody play.
when panic sets in. Yeah, but it relates back to you want a captain, right?
Yeah.
So let's give the example of the Leeds Forest game, because this may happen. And you've decided Monday the 12th, you've got enough money in the bank just about to move from, let's say, Paulinho is your 6.6 midfielder. You've got 0.6 in the bank, and you're going to go and buy Brennan Johnson for the Forest games against Leeds and Fulham. Brennan Johnson's not in the team. What happens? We all panic. So what I want to do this year is create a rolling strategy day on day, where essentially before I go to bed, I decide what I'm doing if my player gets injured today. And what I mean by that is, so on Friday night, let's say there's 12 teams playing on a Saturday. That's probably roughly about right, most game weeks. Is to know if that before it happens, what I'm doing if something happens to that player. To already know where I'm going if that player gets injured or suspended. And a lot of the time, oh no, it's in my head. This year, I'm going to write it down. And I hope that's the sort of thing that would lead away, because the extension of that is then having plan A and plan B. So it's knowing that if you get Brennan Johnson not in the team, you look at it and go, well, I knew I was buying McKenna as my backup, and you go and buy McKenna, and it averts the panic. Now, it could happen that they both got COVID that day and you're fucked. And at that point, yeah, you need to think on your feet, because you listen, don't put the thought process in for too many moves, right? Or it gets endless. And at that point, if there's nothing you like, skip it.
So I agree. Everything you said there about writing it down and what have you, like Brennan Johnson's probably a difficult, like that's one where he's quite cheap, right, in the game relatively. So when you've got cheap players, it's hard to make moves because there's not other good cheap
exactly
options.
That
with more expensive players, it's quite easy to go sideways, like Diaz to Cancelo, you probably be able to do and that kind of thing. So
that,
yeah,
that's why I use that as the example, because what then happens is you don't just think, you don't might not necessarily I'll go Paulinho to McKenna or whatever, you may then think, well, Paulinho is not the right player. So you make two mistakes: one, you buy a player you didn't want, and two, you might sell a player you didn't want to sell.
Yeah.
And we should think about how we stop that, because the easy solution then is, let's just say you go, oh, it's Awoyinne you want and you can't afford him, for example. And then you end up selling someone you didn't want to sell, let's say Jesus, hypothetically. And he's, and oh shit, Jesus had a good fixture at the weekend, but I panicked. Mm. People do it. We know it happens, right? So I want us to think about kind of five questions. You can add your own questions however you want, just to think about what we're doing when we make transfers.
This is your
when
checklist.
You sell a player, kind of, yeah. When you sell a player, ask yourself this: do you want the player back that you're selling? These things will be straightforward. You'll have thought these things.
Or when are you likely to want them back?
Now, in the case of the Kane Haaland example, where I've said on and on and off, you know when you're making that transfer, well, that's fine. I'm selling him because I know I'm buying him back next week, for example. That's part of your strategy plan. That won't always be the plan. So when that Leeds Forest issue happens, for example, and you go, shit, I'm selling Gabriel Jesus to fund the move that I now want to make, stop and ask yourself, do I want back the player that I'm selling? Mm-hmm. Consider it. And if that's part of your plan, it's absolutely fine. But you are inevitably booking in another transfer, right? Mm-hmm. So is getting him back part of the plan if you sell him? And if so, that's absolutely fine. Do you have other assets from the team you're selling? Just stop and consider that when you're selling a player. Are you killing yourself of a potential captaincy in a few weeks' time? So if you have Jesus and you decide, yeah, he's the sacrifice because I've got Gabriel sitting there as well and I want to captain an Arsenal player in two game weeks' time, and you've decided that's Gabriel, fine. But just have a look around at the rest of your team and consider if you're leaving yourself empty. And of course, the decision might be that's absolutely fine. But just think about it. The big one: does this transfer block me? Because we, how many times you hear it, even from the best players, I got stuck with 5-3-2. Mm-hmm. Or do you know what I mean? Or I got stuck with a certain formation. So the solution might be the right immediate solution, but consider what happens next. So the final part is, who are you buying next?
Yep.
And that's the big one for me. And not everybody can do it. Is know that when you hit submit transfer, know your next one, because you may not be able to do the next one. When we say block, we don't necessarily mean block formation, for example. It could be block money. In this game, again, for the new listeners, unlike FPL, your prices are fixed. They will not change. So leave yourself up open. And it can be as little as you think is not part of the plan. But let's say you've got Haaland up front and you've got 0.3 in the bank, and you make a transfer to buy that Nottingham Forest player on the Monday night, but you cost 0.2 more than the one you're selling. You now can't buy Mo Salah without making another transfer. And I think sometimes we have to, it's Leeds Forest, I don't need to think about this. You do. Because I see it and I hear it every single year. I can't get player X or I've blocked myself. So it's That's the big one for me, is understanding transfer B when you make transfer A. And for the more experienced guys, I genuinely would say understand what transfer C is.
Cool.
And I just think it's a little checklist. And people, to be honest, there's plenty more that you can come up with. Put together your own and consider what things go through your mind that are going to like deal with the panic. Planning for the new guys is really important in this game. You can win FPL by being very good and somewhat lucky. Despite the fact there are far less players, because of the planning element of this around fixtures, if you're not prepared to plan, you will not win this game.
Yeah.
But the caveat is someone who is listening to this podcast is going to win this game this year. That's my prediction. And it's Sujan Shah.
It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. But
I better make sure I listen back.
I'm looking forward to listen. All I want this season, I set my goal, is a 3-figure rank. If I can get myself a nice 3-figure rank, then I'm going to be pretty happy with it. Yeah, that's all I can say. Yeah, all good. That's a nice little rundown. Like, I think what you said at the start, though, James, is really important for the patrons, especially in that the Slack community is there to help, right? I can't profess to say I get massively involved. I don't use Slack that much, but I'm definitely... You wait till I'm like top 500 with 20 transfers and 4 weeks to go. I'll be straight in there on the Slack, mate. It's there to help, and it's actually a really enjoyable game. And I can't lie, like when I did go for May Manager of the Month, it was fun. It was really good. I can't even remember where I finished. What was I, like 8th, 7th, 8th for that month in the end?
You did good, mate.
Yeah. So, if I can do it, you can do it. Let's go for it.
This game is probably next level stuff now.
Yeah.
This game is not enjoyable when it's not going well. It's awful. Like, if you set yourself a target, I think it can become quite clear quite early on that you're not going to hit it.
Yeah.
I knew in autumn last year I couldn't win the game. Without miracles. It's not impossible, but without miracles, I knew quite early on it was gonna slide away. And that's my only target in this game, is to finish first. And it should genuinely be everybody's. Like a new player, if you think, oh, I'm a new player, yeah, you can win. You'll need some luck at the start, and you'll make some mistakes. But as we learned from Jamie Piggott on Champions Week, he made mistakes. Mm. He won FPL.
Yeah.
Never mind Sky FF, right? So... if you can understand there are going to be setbacks and stuff, it will make the game more enjoyable. I know I will suffer at some point this year where I don't enjoy Sky, where I realize I can't win the game. The year before, that didn't happen to me till pretty late on, or at least I thought I'm within shot of a great personal best finish, for example. I knew last year I wasn't going to beat my personal best. Never mind, yep. Finish first, really early on. And that can be a bit deflating. So understand that, and how you deal with that mentally is quite important, because I didn't enjoy Sky Fantasy last year. And those who listened to me the year before will know how infused I was about it.
Cool. That's a great rundown.
Cheers, mate. Next week, players, teams,
detail. Bit more detail. Indeed. And
it's not complicated at the start with captaincy and stuff. No, it's really not.
No. And I'm going to get myself into the planner, James, to just get my head around it all. Listeners, hope you enjoy that, patrons. And if you have any questions, as James said, DM him, get in the Slack channel, and get yourself set for next week.
Quiz final tomorrow.
Ho hey.
It's brilliant.
It's pre-recorded, yeah?
We recorded it last Friday.
Nice.
Because, I mean, that was quite helpful. To be honest, it was the only time we could find. And if I'd known that we could have found the four finalists to do a recording on the Friday morning originally, I'd have just released it on the Friday.
Yeah,
I didn't think, having then recorded set a time with Luke and Rob for, and shout out to them for the Gaffer Pod. Now, how long that was, Sid?
It was a movie. It was a feature-length movie.
110 minutes, mate. Yeah, mad. Proper podcast. It wasn't fair to push that back into the next week when you can have transfers and stuff happen and stuff. So that's tomorrow. At the end of the stream, you will hear me say that the Ask James stream on Friday is probably at 3:30 p.m. It might not even be Friday.
Yeah.
at the moment, subject to what's going on with correspondent week. Plus, I'm actually on father duty on Friday as well. So it might push into Saturday, but it's not likely to be 3:30 on the Friday. It's probably more going to be like after I've picked him up and he can come on the stream with me at like 5:30 or something.
Fantastic.
That's it.
Good, good. Enjoy your evening, patrons. Enjoy the quiz tomorrow. Good luck. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.